Hello, Dick. Where exactly are you?
Oh, I'm in a little mountain town called Idlewild, California. It's about an hour and a half east of Los Angeles and San Diego, and I think I'm setting a record. I've been on this about 20 years with you guys. I've never done it at 2,000 meters elevation. So if my brain's a little foggy right now due to lack of oxygen, that will be the reason.
We're always happy to make history.
What did you make of the Masters, mate?
You know, guys, I'm happy for Hideki. I certainly was. I mean, he is a guy that, you know, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we would have said, oh, he is a lock to win a major. Absolute lock, no question about it. And then over the last 4 or 5 years, it's just, you know, he finishes 10th, he finishes 15th. He's always kind of hanging around, but he's never really competing for wins except in Phoenix. I mean, that's like the one place that he wins tournaments. So we started to question, is Hideki really going to win a major? But his talent is unquestioned. There's no doubt about it. He is a top 10 player in the world as far as raw talent. He's just never been able to put it together. And this was an ideal situation for him because he never got pushed. And that's what I was kind of hoping to see. I wanted to see somebody legitimately push him on Sunday. So he had to make clutch 8-footers, knowing that he's only up by 2 shots, only up by 1 shot. And, you know, he ended up winning by 1 shot, but it was like the biggest 1-shot margin in Masters history, right? Like there was never been a Masters before where a winner won by 1 shot, and it was less suspenseful. And I think that's why the ratings are down here in the States, is that there was just no drama. There was no suspense. Justin Rose raced out to a lead in the first couple of days. Hideki took over in the second couple of days, and there wasn't really any race. But what we did see was we saw the emergence of guys that are going to be like the new Hideki, the guys that we look at and say, hey, over the next 5 years, there is no doubt Xander Schauffele is going to win a major. In the next 5 years, there is no doubt Will Zalatoris is going to win a major. I mean, these guys, Zalatoris has got talent beyond. I mean, Zalatoris' talent is off the charts. And we saw how focused and unfazed he was during the Masters. I was really as impressed with him as anybody. And then Xander's always there, guys. Whether it's the Open, whether it's the Masters, he's always just kind of hanging around. And it would have been really interesting to see, had that shot not go into the water, what the last few holes would have looked like at the Masters.
Dick, any surprises for you, whether positive or negative, with individual players throughout the Masters?
The non-surprises was that Bryson has not figured this place out.
Yeah, okay.
And that was not a surprise to me. It was not a surprise to see Rory struggling. There was probably more lack of surprises than surprises. I would say, Zalatoris, how he was able to put 4 rounds together. That is surprising to me, and that he was unfazed by the pressure. I would have thought that, okay, maybe he's in the top 5 after 2 days and he finishes 25th. Because he's not ready to win a Masters, but he showed that he is ready to win a Masters already at the tender age of 24. That was incredible. How about Phil, guys? There's a surprise. 50-year-old Phil just hanging in there in the top 10 on Sunday. That was very surprising to me, no question about it. But yeah, Bryson, you know, the bombing it as far as you possibly can only works in a situation where you can use pitching wedge, sand wedge out of the rough because you've hit it so far and you're hitting your sand wedge at a 4-inch rough where everybody else is hitting their 7-iron at a 4-inch rough. At the Masters, there is no 4-inch rough. So there's really no advantage to Bryson hitting it 350 yards off the tee.
Can you take us through Steph Curry's game against Denver, Dick? And obviously, he's been a wonderful player for Golden State, but in your mind, where does he rank in terms when you're talking about all-time great players?
I think by the time it's all said and done, we'll be able to utter Steph Curry's name in the top 10 of all time, I think. He doesn't have the size, the athleticism, the tangible qualities of the greatest 4 or 5 basketball players of all time. I mean, when you look at Jordan, when you look at Magic and the Vision, when you look at LeBron James and just the raw athleticism. When you look at those centers, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, those players you're going to see in the top 10, the Kobe Bryant, they all have a couple things. They either have a tremendous amount of size and athleticism, or they they have like the vision of a Magic Johnson, who also played at 6'9". Steph has none of that. But what Steph has is he is the greatest shooter of all time. Without question, he has blown away Larry Bird. He has blown away Reggie Miller. He has blown away Ray Allen. He's blown away anybody that you could find. I don't even think that anybody could make an argument at this point that there's ever been a shooter in the NBA like Steph Curry. And shooting is such an essential part of basketball that you have to put the very best shooter of all time in the top 10 of all time.
Now, in the NFL, Julian Edelman, New England Patriots receiver, announced his retirement. What's been the response to that?
Yeah, and a little bit surprised. He failed a physical, so he decided, let's hang it up. A tremendous career. You talk about a guy that has gotten it done with less than elite athleticism. I mean, Julian Edelman, and you look at the guy out of college, and he had good numbers at Texas Tech, but, you know, that system was a pass-happy system that would kind of lead you to believe that a smaller receiver like that would have good college numbers but would never translate in the NFL. Well, Julian Edelman was the product of two things. Great work ethic. I mean, really honing and crafting his trade over his career. And that is owed all to him. And the other part is pure dumb luck. I mean, he landed with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, nobody uses the slot receiver better than Tom Brady. Nobody gets rid of the ball faster to those receivers that are 5-10 yards past the line of scrimmage better than Tom Brady. So it was a good mix for Julian Edelman of great work ethic in making himself the absolute best that his body would allow him to be, because he can't compare physically to any of the top receivers at all, and then having the greatest quarterback of all time throwing to him for much of his career, that certainly helped as well.
What's A-Rod getting involved in the NBA?
He is. He's going to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you know, we're obviously in Seattle without an NBA team, but now having an arena that opens in October, and the NBA has already said Seattle is number one on the list to get an expansion team. Well, maybe, a potential relocation happens before an expansion team. I don't know. All I do know is I feel very, very confident that Seattle is going to get a basketball team in the next 3 to 5 years. All the infrastructure is set. There's no question about it at all. The only question is the NBA going to expand and give Seattle a basketball team along with Vegas over the next 3 or 4 years? Or is it going to be a situation like Alex Rodriguez, where he up and moves the team from Minnesota? Now, we as Seattleites, as Sonic fans, would prefer to see the expansion team, just because we know what it feels like to have our team bought and ripped from our hands and moved. And it's the most painful sporting memory of my entire life when that happened on July 2nd, 2008. And we really don't want to see that happen to Minnesota. We don't want to see, a longstanding, 30-year, 35-year franchise just ripped and moved out of Minnesota. But, them's the breaks, I guess. I mean, that's business of basketball, right? And if it does happen, it does happen. It would be very unfortunate for Minnesota and obviously a great boom for Seattle. But, yeah, we'd rather see the expansion route.
Dick, we'll let you get back to the mountains, mate. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. I got a Pilsner waiting for me, boys. I'll have one for you, all right?
Please do. Good on you, mate.